This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Empire. From hardware innovation to data capture.
And it measures the number of data points of your game, how fast you serve, how far you run around the court, spin on the ball, things like that. And those things are interesting, but are they compelling to bring you back and visit an app every day of the week? You know, we'd like to think that we can offer something different.
That's Mike Bilardi, CEO of Slinger, a company who started out by creating a tool for practicing tennis and now wants to improve your whole game. This is the Future Sport Podcast. I'm Bram Weinstein. Mike Bilardi has spent his career in tennis and product development and design. The Slinger bag is incredible and contextually affordable, a lightweight mobile bag that doubles as a ball machine to practice your swing anywhere, anytime. But they're not settling. Their success in hardware has led to company acquisitions that will help grow players' games through data. Our guest this week is Mike Bilardi, who is the CEO of Slinger, which is a company that had been focused on making hardware, a highly portable tennis ball machine, but in recent months has been making some moves and acquisitions to get into artificial intelligence, data capture, and performance analytics. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Bram, great. Thank you. Happy to be on the show.
Sounds like you guys have been busy. Let's kind of start from the beginning. And why don't you tell our listeners what Slinger and the Slinger bag is?
Yes, yeah. So Slinger bag came into existence probably close to 2 years ago, following a successful Kickstarter campaign where we compiled like 3,500 early adopters. Gave the bag the credibility that it, you know, that it was a concept that was going to be needed in tennis. We brought that bag initially to market to satisfy those early adopters in, March of 2020. Their experience, I think, was very good. There's a lot of social media noise about it, positive noise about it. And that created quite a demand, which we tried to satisfy through an e-commerce platform that we set up in around about mid-May 2020. And very quickly, we had a lot of people wanting to buy the Slinger bag. And eventually, we delivered the very first one on July the 27th of 2020 to the real true consumer that actually purchased it on a regular way through our website. So it was a long 2 years of evolution. But, I think, behind it, what's made the Slinger bag successful is it's been designed by a tennis player for a tennis player, first and foremost. I think, secondly, it's the first ever product that allows a tennis player to play tennis 24/7, anytime, any place, anywhere. And thirdly, it's built around transportability, versatility, and affordability. So, today it's $750 for a very functional tennis ball machine. It's probably, a good almost half of what you would pay normally for a traditional tennis ball machine. So, we fit all of the buttons on the head, so to speak, in terms of meeting the needs of the tennis consumer. And it's a big, big, big success.
Yeah. How much does the thing weigh? I'm just curious about the product itself.
Yeah, 33 pounds. So, it's in a trolley bag. That's a typical wheel trolley bag you might take on vacation and you would buy in a department store, and probably, you'd pay $300 for the quality of the bag, probably. So it's a really high quality piece of, luggage. That's actually got a tennis ball machine built into the bottom of it. So, yeah, it's incredible.
And how many balls can the thing hold?
Maximum 144. Mm-hmm. We recommend 72, which is, 100 is the case of tennis balls. That gives it optimum performance, but can hold more.
And it's not one directional, right? It can...
No, well, so most people buy the kit, which includes an oscillator plate.
Yeah.
And so you put the oscillator plate on the ground, the bag top of it, and then it'll oscillate the bag left to right. You know, and you can alternate the speed, and the ball speed, and you know through that you get a pretty good workout.
That's cool. I mean, was this your idea? You'd been sitting on this for a long time, and you'd been thinking about doing something like this.
No. I've been involved in tennis a long time. Of course, you know, as a player, a coach, and a business leader. But, you know, Wilson for many years, and then Prince as an owner. Actually, we bought the company, Prince Company, in 2003, but eventually as the CEO. And I've been presented with many ideas about, gadgets for tennis, devices for, improving, enhancing performance in tennis.
Yeah.
And when I saw the video the very first time of the slinger bag, my tennis gut kicked in and said, wow, okay, this actually could be something very useful if it's as good as it looks.
Yeah.
You know, and that was my first introduction to it. Then a few days later, I tried it. I met with the owner, the founder. He's an entrepreneur, but he's an avid tennis player. Luckily, he can play every day, you know, and he went through the experience of trying to get the big old conventional tennis ball machine out of the pro shop, get it wired up to power on a court, and got very frustrated with it and thought there must be something easier that could be done to improve that. He did it.
And with the bag, how are you all? I appreciate that it's not expensive, but there is a barrier especially for beginners if they're going to pay for something like that to come in. And if the object is to make this easier and more accessible, is there any kind of educational component that you are looking at to try to help train players who buy a product like this?
So on our website, we do, we obviously provide a number of drills and videos and things and showing you how it could be used by different levels of players. But really we're evolving now. I think a few months away from launching what's going to be a very interesting app, which would be available to any tennis player, whether you have a slinger bag or not. But within that app, there will be, we've filmed 600 different drill videos that you can, you can use the slinger bag for, to practice various aspects of your tennis game, no matter what level of it, you play. But also, the app will have some other coaching tips from some of our ambassadors, Tommy Haas, Mike and Bob Bryan, Patrick Mouratoglou, Bouchard, some people like that, obviously, who have got a great reputation and history in the game. But also, we're going to make it available for a lot of our users who love to upload videos of themselves, training with the slinger bag.
And yeah.
If you looked at our Instagram page, you'll see hundreds and hundreds of videos of, people, experiencing the slinger bag firsthand, and making good use of it. So, it's one of these things in creating a new brand in tennis, which is not easy to do, but, we've done it in a way that I think we've brought along our consumers with us. And I have to say that in all my years in tennis and involved with many different brands, the slinger consumers are really, evangelists for the product. I mean, it's incredible. They help each other. They, solve problems for each other. They upload videos, training videos and things like that, which is something really special, actually, in what we've created.
Okay, so let's talk about the turn here and some of the acquisitions that the company has gone through, which is in data analytics and data capture and performance. Yeah. Take me through just the genesis of going from what is a company that is making a product that would be used by players to all of these other aspects of becoming a better tennis player.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, I think, as we rolled out the slinger bag, over the past 18 months and we started to engage with all of these, tennis consumers, we also started to look more broadly at tennis. We coined a phrase, reinventing tennis, which, making tennis more accessible with the slinger bag. And then we started to think a little bit more broadly about, what is it, what kind of services do tennis players today really look for? I'd like to think we were disrupting the tennis market with the slinger bag, but, I wanted us also to be progressive and look to the future. And really, if you're into tennis or any sport, and we're focused on tennis today, but you either watch it, you play it, or you learn it. And so if you're a tennis fan and, you don't actually play, but you love to watch, tennis events, then, we needed to provide services that have live streaming of events, whether they're, major ATP WTA events, UTR events, or just, maybe even local college or town tournaments. And so, we started engaging about a year ago with the PlaySight company, and PlaySight is a brand that, really revolutionized tennis tech probably 10 years ago. you know, with the advent of video, automated video technology for tennis. But really it's coming into its fore only now in terms of live streaming, you know, OTT tennis channels for colleges or high schools or tennis clubs, you know, and, you know, providing the cameras and the technology to, you know, to live stream events all over the world. You know, and so, you know, that became one aspect of what we looked at and was a company that we were very interested in. You know, the play bit is Slinger. So Slinger enables you to play. The learn bit is the analytics that we're going to produce through artificial intelligence, which, you know, we got involved with a company called Gameface, an Australian company, and they were developing the analytics, AI analytics for our tennis app that we're launching in a few months. And as we got to know them, we liked what they were doing. We could see that they're involved in lots of other sports, you know, very successfully launching AI for a sport called cricket, actually, in Australia. And this was a level of analytics that I haven't seen in my career in tennis, and I don't think really exists in other sports. You know, so, you know, if I made an analysis, let's say, you know, there's, you know, Swing Vision is out with an app at the moment, which is very popular and does a great thing. And it measures the number of data points of your game, how fast you serve, how far you run around the court, spin on the ball, things like that. And those things are interesting, but are they compelling to bring you back and visit an app every day of the week? You know, we'd like to think that we can offer something different. So, you know, our app is going to have AI analytics, which talk more to how to improve your tennis. So do you have a good, solid hitting foundation when you hit the ball? Do you transfer your weight into the ball? Do you hit consistently the same contact point? You know, these are things that actually can help you improve tennis. And so, you know, we thought, you know, very much about this watch, play, and learn. And, you know, we found the companies that kind of bring it to life. And, you know, today Sling is going to be, or, you know, tomorrow Sling is going to be a connected sports company, you know, and look at providing this raft of services through a single platform, you know, for tennis users to consume on a day-to-day basis. Some of them are going to be free and some will be, of course, subscription-based, but, you know, that's the way it is.
How do you collect the data? Are you going to have players head to wearables? Will you do it through the racket, video capture? How do you see that?
Yeah, video capture, mainly video capture. So yeah, it's not a wearable thing. It's not something you put on your racket. It's basically, you know, you take the currently your cell phone and you put it in front of you at the net and you take, you know, take video of yourself playing, practicing, upload the video. The AI will kick in and give you the analytics of each of the initial three things we're going to measure: foundation, weight transfer, and contact point. And then it will recommend to you how you can improve. You can drill down in each of those areas and it'll recommend to you practices and coaching tips and advice from coaches and players that will point you in the right direction, how to improve what the AI might spot as a little weakness in your game.
Let me talk broadly just about, since you've been in the sport for so long, just modern training for younger players in general. And I can tell you my experience with a daughter who's 12 years old in the greater Washington area, and she loves the sport and is recreationally playing it. I don't know if it's going to go anywhere, but she loves it, and we're happy that she's into it. And the training, you know, while in a lot of other team sports or other, you know, personalized sports in this country, at least, they have grown a lot and are incorporating some of the things that you're talking about. I've not seen a lot of that in tennis, and maybe that's my own personal experience. But do you believe that just in general for younger people worldwide who want to get involved in the sport, that it's time for a modernization of how we get people involved in it?
Absolutely, Bram, I do. Yeah. I think I think it's well documented now that, you know, COVID, of course, you know, a terrible thing that's inflicted the world, but actually for sport, in particular for tennis, it's actually seen a real upsurge in the numbers of people coming back to tennis or taking to tennis as a form of fitness, if you like, or, you know, or enjoyment. But yes, you're right. You know, even some of the big academies of tennis, they don't have the technical facilities that are now, you know, we're advocating that are going to be needed in the future. So as an example, you know, we're just finalizing, you know, an agreement to put place like cameras on the courts at IMG in Bradenton. And, you know, that's Bollettieri's Academy, famed for 10 world number one players, but still in tennis, you know, not offering the, you know, up until now, not offering the latest, advancements in technology to support the coaching of the players. So yes, tennis is a little bit traditional, obviously, as a sport, and you know, a little bit behind the eight ball, if you like, or a little bit further down on the curve of the technology and you know aspect of the game. But I think it's coming. And one of the things that's going to drive it is that really, I think court surfaces in general, tennis courts, but also other sports surfaces, are all going to be connected to the internet if they're not already. You know, and that means they're going to have cameras. You know, so you know, and place like you know, for example, I don't know, they've got 80 D1 colleges for multi sports, whether it's tennis or basketball or baseball or whatever it might be. They've got cameras there, and the parents of the kids that are at those colleges can log in and watch them practice, train, play, you know, whenever they want. And you know, why wouldn't that be a good facility to have on court surface? And so, you know, I think that's coming. You know, in sport and particularly in tennis.
You see that in just the general recreational courts that are available to the public, that's a possibility?
Yes, yeah. So normally, you know, the up until now, let's say it's been there's a cost factor that's a prohibitive factor to putting it in public courts. You know, these systems are not cheap and it costs quite a bit of money. You know, but what we would like to do now is the new owners of PlaySide is to democratize the technology and make it available. Why can't it be available for public courts or small clubs or you know, be where people are playing tennis, you know, and give them the same opportunity to access the technology that D1 college, you know, if you go to a you know leading college, you'll get, you know. So and it's really just a case of structuring the deal, you know, still as a cost, but you know, obviously a public facility has a different budget to work with than a D1 college or, yeah. You know, a top-end country club. And so, you know, we just need to help with the mechanics of how it's costed out and, you know, the payment plans are structured. And I think we can find a way to do that under this umbrella that we've created.
I don't want to get too far in the weeds in that, but how would you tell a municipality, you know, that this is why you should pay for this?
Because you know they want to maximize the use of their facilities first and foremost. Yeah. And I think it provides different reasons for the facilities to be used. I think we also have an idea, you know, to try and create local events in tennis. Now there's much more of an interest in tennis. Why not have, I don't know, town tournaments or competitions or box leagues or whatever it might be, and create more of a buzz around the sport of tennis, you know, and I think making the court smart, you know, with camera technology and then, you know, live streaming or video feedback that people can upload on their social media or things like that, you know, that'll just make tennis a much more all-round fun sport to be involved with.
Yep.
You know, and I think we can be a part of that.
And you guys are thinking, you know, in a very modern way, in a sport that obviously has extremely traditional roots in the way that it presents itself. Do you see some alterations in maybe equipment or in technology or in presentation of the sport that will modernize over the next few years?
Yeah, I think, yes. Yeah, I can see that, you know, maybe not in every area, but, you know, I think the equipment itself over the last few years is certainly, you know, I've been heavily involved with tennis equipment over many years. And we've seen a lot of devices that you can now buy that you can attach to your racket to smarten the racket. But I can imagine that big tennis companies are already thinking about how they can integrate, more microchip technology into the racket itself to provide you more feedback when you play. We're looking at other technologies that, biomechanic technologies that you could, wear on your arm, for example, that could provide additional information to the visual technology through the camera. So you can combine then, you know, biomechanical information when you hit the ball with the visual technology of how you hit the ball. I think there's a lot of things that can happen on that side of things to make, to make the game more enjoyable, to some extent, there is a route to gamification of tennis through that, you know, kind of technology as well. And of course, esports is getting more and more popular. VR for tennis, I've seen that taking place now. So, you know, I think there's a lot of exciting stuff coming in. you know, and in terms of the, you know, the governing bodies of tennis have suddenly, you know, realized that they have to open their minds to the different versions of tennis.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen the enormous rise of pickleball in the United States, which to me is a version of tennis. It's a bat, a racket, and a ball. Beach tennis, you know, in Europe, or paddle tennis is coming. You know, there's so many different versions, and I think, you know, tennis is has shut its eyes to these kind of fringe sports, if you like, and but now these are, tennis has to open up, and just if it's to do with a racket and a ball, that's part of what tennis is, and tennis as a sport needs to recognize that, and I think they're starting to open up and be more available to bring into the family these new sports as they grow.
All right, last thing for you. I just have one request of the slinger bag, what I would like to see it do. Could it automatically go around and pick up the balls for me and put it back in the bag?
Right. A lot of people ask that. And believe it or not, I've seen a number of devices, robotic devices that can do that. The problem is they're incredibly slow. It's a little tongue-in-cheek. But, we do offer a ball picker-upper with it, which is nothing unusual. But, it would be a nice thing if it could do it really quickly for you. That would give you a breather before you go and hit the next round of balls. But
a collaboration with Dyson might work out for you.
that may be a good thing. Pretty cool looking actually as well. Yeah.
Mike Bilardi is the CEO of Slinger. Thank you so much for joining us.
Bram, thanks for having me. Have a good rest of the day.
On the next Future Sport podcast. What is day one like running a new team?
I've seen a lot of success and a lot of failure, and bringing that to, building a club has actually helped because we move quick and we have to accept, when something's working and do it 10 times more. And then when something fails, acknowledge it, move on.
That's Nick Kelly, the president of the newest MLS team, Charlotte FC. That will do it for this episode. As always, the future is now. This is the Future Sport Podcast. I'm Bram Weinstein.